check.
Okay, right here.
That's comfy.
Very comfortable. check.
I'm gonna tell you, man. This is how microphones. I mean, if we had a dead space,
you can scoot up.
Yeah.
With your. Yeah.
And you can remember to just lean in when you're talking.
Yeah. Checking in. How's that for sound?
Yeah, you don't have to yell.
I'm not yelling. Speaking very, very succinctly.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Okay. And. Welcome to Passions for Life, where your hosts, Natalie Z and Travis Schultz, pull back the curtain on your favorite show you always denied watching, Passions.
Hey.
Hi, guys. We're also joined here, as usual, with our friend, Ben Hayes.
Yeah, that's me. I'm here.
Joined by Ben Hayes.
Hey.
Good afternoon. Good to see you. Ben and Travis, welcome to your podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi. So we have an embarrassing amount of terrain to cover today. But before we jump in, hi, Ben.
Hello.
What's going on?
Not much. I started my new job this week.
That's great, Ben. I'm glad some of us are working.
That is good news. I would really love to get back to work, but I would have to book the job to do that. Natalie, what about you?
Me? I've got some work stuff going on, but that's all hearsay.
You're writing, aren't you?
I am writing, but I have started doing a thing. That's not true. I'm going to start doing a thing, and I can't recommend it because I don't think it's going to work.
Uh-oh.
I'm going.
This bodes very well.
Okay.
So you know how when you're reading a book and the characters are in a really shitty situation, it's usually a hangover, to be honest. Like the characters are there's a character that's hungover, and
right.
the hangover is described in a way that makes it sound almost romantic, and it's so much more interesting than hangovers actually are. And
romanticizing like
everything. Yeah.
Okay.
And you think to yourself, well, and next time I'm hungover, I'm just going to pretend like I'm in a book.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
But meaning not that I was using a hangover as an example. So I want to try when I'm in it, because we're all in a shitty place right now, obviously, just as
not great.
The country.
Not great days.
Yeah. And the world, really, just with the pandemic.
Mostly America.
And I struggle mentally and emotionally with what's going on. I think we all do. And sometimes I think, well, if I were a character in a book, this would be so much more interesting. And so I'm going to pretend.
The book 1984.
Right.
Wow.
That guy was not romantic.
When I'm having a bad day, I'm just going to see if it works. I don't think it's going to.
You're
going to
use your imagination.
And I'm going to.
I think that's called transcendence.
It's something. It's something psychological.
Now I encourage this.
Right, I think it'll be fun for. I don't. I actually.
It'll be
don't.
Fun for the household.
Oh wow!
So that's my new plan, guys. I'm gonna pretend like I'm in a book.
Okay,
Let's do it.
Yeah, Travis, what's up with you?
Yeah, I am working on the house. I worked with drywall for the first time with a good friend, and he taught me everything, and I learned why it sucks and no one likes doing it. But, yeah, we're doing a little renovation on a bathroom. Took a wall apart, put it back together. Yeah, now I got plumbing to do, which I'm a little nervous about.
Oh, you're going to do the plumbing yourself?
I'm going to attempt to do the plumbing myself.
Oh.
Because the plumbing that needs to be done is not that complicated. But I'm just hoping I don't make it too complicated.
Well, Travis, if you get frustrated while you're doing it, I have a tip for you.
Okay.
Pretend you're in a book.
You're a dick.
Okay,
cool. You're a fucking dick.
Listen, I'm building this for the empire.
I open my hearts to you.
Okay, so I'm a stormtrooper.
Throw it back in my face.
And I got a shit job on the
If I don't build
Death
this,
Star.
This drywall, Hitler will succeed.
I fucking hate you both. Shall we talk about passions, guys?
Sure, yeah.
Let's talk about passions. Okay, so where we left off, we did episode 1 in my first day and what it was like. and it was very traumatic, as we all learned. But I now we've jumped a lot of stuff, a lot of episodes, 350 episodes. Now, because we're not a recap show, a lot of things happened, guys. A lot of stuff happened. Teresa was trying to get with Ethan, and they actually have just had a moment. They fell in love. Ethan has kind of identified Teresa as someone he loves. Gwen is...
It's a very clinical way to put
Gwen
it.
Is, okay. Gwen, I think, took a baseball bat.
Yeah, there was a famous...
The famous baseball bat?
The famous Gwen baseball bat scene that Liza Huber performed.
Liza nailed it. She was so excited about doing that.
Well, everybody was really excited about watching it, too.
Yeah. She really liked the angry Gwen.
Yeah.
And had fun with it.
Yeah.
There's a prom boat disaster.
I also missed that, which...
I too missed that.
Yeah.
Well... It was, it ended up okay, but it was a disaster.
Okay.
Let's see. Oh, Sheridan's people still trying to kill her. Mm-hmm. And there's Alistair. Alistair has come into play.
Yeah. Alistair Crane.
Which is big. That's the grandfather, the
big daddy.
Patriarch of the family who controls everything through cameras from his desk.
A la Charlie. And Charlie's Angels.
Yeah, right. That's how I thought of him because it just seems like he has the video panel and the
right
or the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah,
Wizard of Oz. Whatever reference.
The man behind the curtain. What else, Ben? What else am I missing? You caught up on some stuff. You watched a lot of episodes.
I did, but I'm glad that we're not a recap show because I don't know if I could have watched 300 episodes in a row.
No, that's a lot of episodes.
You would be a different person.
I would be.
You would be transformed. You'd be maybe somebody in a book.
Yes, that'd be someone like you know. Stumbling through the desert, confused.
Well, I hear a lot these days, COVID brain, yes. You would have passion's brain.
Right, yeah.
And COVID brain. So
we should TM that. We should definitely trademark passion's brain. so now we're at episode 354.
Natalie Z's first episode as Gwen Hotchkiss.
Yep.
So exciting. So start, Natalie. Why don't we start? What do you want to start with?
We would be remiss if we didn't talk about a bit of the prologue that happened before I actually went before the cameras.
Natalie, you always love the prologue.
I love a prologue, man.
It's the best part of the book.
It is my
thing. It's the Natalie Z thing.
It's my theatrical upbringing. So I get to LA and my boyfriend at the time, for reasons I don't quite remember, he decided not to join me. He came a couple of weeks after I got there. So I had my friend Katie come and help me look for apartments, and this was September 27th, the year 2000. Oh, I also want to interject that in looking through all these date books to get these dates that are so important, I stumbled upon the fact that Travis and I met 20 years ago on August 1st, this past August 1st.
Oh.
Yeah.
So our first time meeting.
First time meeting. It was that test.
It was our friend anniversary?
Our friendiversary?
Friendiversary?
Yeah, I guess. So September 27th, the year 2000, I moved to Los Angeles. And I was so horrified. I had been watching the show, obviously, once I got the job. And I think prior to getting the job, I had watched some episodes. But once I got the job, I really wanted to be very well-versed in the universe. So I'm watching the show, and I get this terrified inkling that I'm going to, once I get to work, I'm going to start addressing the actors by their character names instead of by their names.
A legitimate concern.
Well, because, yes, especially because, A, they all know each other as who they are because they all started together.
And it's not their name.
And it's not their, it's not their name. Forget B, C, and D. Yeah. Yeah. And so Katie and I decided to make flashcards where she would call out randomly out of nowhere. She would be like, Galen Gehring, Luis Lopez Fitzgerald.
Hey, good. You got that one right.
Yeah, I got that. Kay Bennett, Deanna, I can't remember her last name. I didn't need to know last names, I suppose. But yeah, I furiously went through these flashcards because I was just mortified at the idea of being like, oh, hey, Ethan. Oh, God, that even like thinking about it just makes my stomach drop. It'd be because you'd be like, that's really weird that you just called me that. That's not my name.
No, I wouldn't.
Okay. Well, I guess it's just a me thing. When people call me by my character,
100%
when people call me by my character name, it bumps me.
Like I said, it's a you thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And people do it a lot on shows. They'll call me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they can see it in my face and they go, oh, I'm sorry.
It's a professional hazard.
Anyway.
Usually it's the director though, right?
Who?
Like, it's usually the director who's like, hey.
Never. No, the director. Really? No. It's usually, it's hair and makeup.
Right.
Wardrobe. Other guest stars.
Right.
So I just didn't want to. Do that thing. So
series regulars.
Series, Kevin Bacon. No, Kevin never. He knew my name.
Kevin Bacon always knew your name.
He's a consummate professional. That guy.
Yeah.
He's gonna go far.
He has a good career ahead of him.
Yeah, he's gonna do well.
He's gonna do well.
Rising star.
He's a rising star. A star. Keep an eye out for that guy. So as we all know, Liza Huber was. And I'm sure she still is a blonde, and I'm not. And so they wanted to, I guess they thought they wanted to make me look as much like the character quote as they could. So when I was auditioning, they were like, do you have a problem going blonde? Of course I don't. So the first thing they did was they set up some time for me in the. I wish we had visuals. They set up some time for me in the hair department. And Listen, I am not about shitting on people's hard work, but I'm about to. So I spent many hours in that hair room getting some hair color. And I pop out for a smoke break. And I'm sitting outside smoking, and Travis.
Here I come.
Travis walks up.
Walking down.
I believe what he said to me was, quote, "Oh, baby girl."
What was the state of your hair when
Ronald Travis, McDonald
Ronald
red?
McDonald red.
Huh? Why? How did
she started crying?
I did. Did she, I?
You were upset.
I was.
I don't know if you were crying.
I think I had been crying, and you were kind of getting the aftermath of it. I think I maybe went to the bathroom and cried.
You were upset, and you were afraid to say something. And
well, yeah.
I remember saying to you, "Oh no, you go in there right now,
yeah.
and tell him you're not going on camera looking like Ronald McDonald."
Right.
And you were so thankful. You said, "Oh, you think I can do that?" And
yeah.
I said, "Yes, absolutely. This is your hair." And I said, "They've messed up my hair so many times. Don't worry about it. Go in there and tell them. Fix it."
Well, okay, that's funny.
And Lisa would have said the same thing. Lisa would have been furious.
Hold on, though. It's funny that was your takeaway from that conversation, because I do remember that, but the stuff that I remember most about that conversation is you giving me shit about my car. He asked me, do you have a car yet? I mean, after we got over the hair thing.
Right.
You were like, do you have a car yet? And I was like, yeah, I have a 1985. I just bought this 1985 Mercedes. And you were like, no,
that's
no, you can't. And I was like, well, it's done. And
I'm very practical in my car buying.
Well, it was used.
Yeah, it was used. And he was a dad.
Probably
even
diesel.
Back then. It was not diesel. It was a good car. And I think I had to call you on your whatever the fuck Jetta you had. Did you have a Jetta?
I had a Jetta.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, you guys Jetta. Great car
boring,
in Los Angeles.
Very boring car. So I remember you talking about my car. And then I also remember. So this was the big. I remember thinking, oh God, look at what I look like. And this guy is here and he's seeing me look like this. And I can do one of two things. I can completely throw my vanity out the window and not give a shit because this is a person I'm going to see all the time. And, you know, I'm very intimidated by his face, but I can't get bogged down in my own shit. Or I can just be insecure all the time when I see him, knowing that, like, the first times, you know, that we're hanging out, I look like Ronald McDonald. And at that moment, I was just like, from here on out, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit what I look like. I don't care about this guy judging me. I just, you know, it's going to be way too much energy to put forth. So.
So I liked about you.
Well, it was a split second decision, and I went the right way, I think.
Beautiful.
Because otherwise I would have been so insecure around you. I mean, you were so who you were. You were just this like fucking matinee idol, and I, you know, was this like scrawny like. Well, okay. What is he writing? What are you writing down? Ben's like shaking his head, making notes.
Writing matinee idols.
Okay. The paranoia is still
it's
here.
It's still here. That's how he got me. So those are the two big takeaways after, you know, except of course for the, like, you need
that's
to tell
so
them.
Interesting.
Well, I have a question about the process. Mm. Cause I saw the episode and you definitely don't have red hair.
Well, we're not done.
Okay.
I told you we have a vast terrain to cover today. Guys.
Proceed.
So I went back to I was staying with my friend Julie. I went back to her house and between Travis and I want to give credit where credit is due. I think Travis had the bulk of the influence on me, but I think I may have spoken to my ex about it, and he was like, yeah, dude, you got to say something. So that day I called up one of the producers and I was like, hey, I don't do this. This is really hard for me, but I simply don't have a choice. I just can't. I mean, it had to be bad for me, you know, with the status that I had or didn't have, for me to, as a new actor on the show, to call up and just be like, look, I hate to ruffle feathers, but this is awful. So she was really, I think it was, I don't remember her name. She was really great about it. And she was like, I totally understand. I'm going to set you up with an appointment at a hair salon in Beverly Hills, and we're going to take care of you. And so a couple of days later, I went and got my hair done, and it looked literally exactly the same as when I got on the airplane to go to LA. But, I mean, at least we fixed it. At least we were back at zero, right? I mean, it looked great. And I even remember after the hair salon visit going, and that's when we did our picture. We had to do a big photo shoot for, like, prop photos,
right,
and I think for PR photos.
Right, all the photos on people's dressers and
yeah
walls.
So my hair was done. That was the last time my hair looked good for about a year and a half. Again, I don't like shitting on people's work, but we're gonna do it. We've got a lot of
work.
Hair to talk
they
about
messed up.
Shortly thereafter, I think it was, I don't think I had started yet, because I still had, you know, prop photos to do and do lots of fittings and obviously hair. Travis, probably at that photo shoot, asked if I wanted to have coffee, or maybe you called, I don't know, and so that he could kind of give me the lay of the land. So
I also wanted to figure out her relationship
status. Because we did not have Facebook back then.
I liked her very much. I didn't know if she was seeing anyone or not.
And she was.
And I was. So
she was. For a very long time.
Yeah. In fact, I remember right before we were going to have coffee at Hugo's, not your best friend and not
his best
Val's
friend.
Son.
Right, right.
At the coffee shop, Hugo's. And I was on the phone to said ex-boyfriend at the time. And I think we may have gotten into a fight, or it was a really emotional phone call, and I remember crying. There was a lot of crying that happened around this time in my life. And I remember thinking, again, this keeps coming, I remember thinking, I look really bad. Like, I had a ratty t-shirt on and said, like, a shitty pair of jeans. And puffy eyes, no makeup, and my hair was greasy and dirty. And I was like, I can't believe I'm going to have coffee with this guy. And I look like this, but I was like, who cares? Like, we're not, it's not like, you know, who gives a shit? And I was, but I remember being very aware of, like, how little effort I put into myself going to this friend date. And I remember immediately you saying, because I think I apologized. I was like, I'm sorry, I look like this. And you were like, I'm really hungover and I don't feel great right now. and you, like, pulled out a bag of cigarettes and was like, he's going to be my best friend. And it was so great. It was so, you put me at ease so quickly.
Well, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to.
Well, you wanted to get my pants.
Well, yes, that was part of it as well. But I also wanted a good rapport with you.
Yeah.
I learned, I think, just from experience, that the best thing to do when you're about to dive into a series is to get to know the other actors really well, figure out what they believe, what they think, how they act, what their idea of professionalism is. And I wanted to get that out of you.
That's really smart.
As quickly
I
as
could
possible.
Probably
because we were going to
do that
potentially often. We were supposed to work together a lot.
Yeah.
Which we ended up
not doing. Yeah, we ended up working.
They put Gwen on the back.
Yeah, as soon as I got there, they were like, nope. Anyway. that was the coffee where you learned of my relationship status,
right.
And you hid your disappointment very well, which will be an ongoing theme. And you gave me all the like secrets, the like, you know, here's how this is going to go down. And I remember asking you, this just feels like such a stupid question, and you never made me feel stupid. You never made me feel like anything I was asking was obvious, or that you didn't have the same questions. And you were just, I mean, you were great. We should have just done it. but there were things in the way.
Oh. It wouldn't have worked.
No.
Wouldn't be where we are today.
It would not have worked. So that then I started work, which leads us into the episode, I guess.
This episode.
Yeah. Right? Episode.
The first episode we worked together.
Yeah.
Is it the very first episode you
yes,
worked on?
Yes. It was my very first episode. Yeah. And it was the first episode we were in together, in episode 354.
Okay. Our first day together.
Oh, man. I mean, where to start? Should we do a little recap of what happened in the episode, or what's happening in the episode, or just dive in?
Ben, you want to?
I didn't.
What do you want to do, Ben? You want to dive in?
I have
the recap.
I have a little.
I went chronologically through the episode and just wrote down stuff that occurred to me.
Well, I can just quickly go over. So Sheridan has been, quote, killed.
Yes.
No. Let's talk about that.
Okay. Well, hold on.
Let's do the TV Guide recap.
Sheridan has been killed. Louise
dead.
Sheridan dead. In all caps.
Cranes devastated.
I keep going. This is actually great.
Lopez Fitzgerald's just enjoying life.
But
Teresa has a secret.
No, Teresa has a secret.
Well, Louise devastated.
Louise blames Hank. For Sheridan's,
Hank.
Quote, death.
Yes. Hank, not sure what is going on with Hank.
Gwen and Rebecca are scheming, which is crazy. They're never scheming.
Well, yeah. So there you go. There's the recap.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Bye.
Should
we talk?
Like and subscribe.
What do you want to say, man?
Well, the first thing the question I have is, it seems like everyone in this town is in the same generation.
Oh, I actually do want to talk about this. Thank you for bringing this up. Okay. So we are going to be, yes, this is great. We're going to be referring to these groups of people a lot. So, because what I noticed was there are three main sort of age groups. I know it doesn't look like it, but there's the teens, there's the young adults, and then there's the parents. Mm-hmm. Who I also call the vets, because they make up a lot of soap veterans. So, everybody kind of looks the same age, but there is a fairly clear delineation in terms of like what age groups people belong in. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, I mean, I looked up some of the ages of the,
as did we.
Yes, and some of it's surprising.
Of the actors?
Yeah, some of it's very surprising.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
As we were watching it, you know, I was like, that's supposed to be Gwen's mom.
Who was, so.
Oh, right.
And yeah. Andrea Evans, who played my mom, was 43 at the time. She was 2 years younger than I am now.
Right.
Ivy Crane, played by Kim Ulrich Johnson Ulrich, was 45, mm-hmm. which is exactly the age I am now.
Right.
And that blew my mind.
Well, they looked, like I said, everyone looks kind of like they could be in the same generation.
Sure.
Even though, yeah. I mean, I did look up Sheridan and Julian's age difference, the actors.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Quite vast.
Very big.
Yeah.
So he has a younger sister who's 30 years younger than he.
My brother is 31 years younger than me.
Okay.
So well, it's possible.
It happens.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. Yeah. It's, yes, it's very odd.
Yeah. She should have just been a cousin. Right.
She really, we should call them and tell
My
them that.
Sister Sheridan.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, then let's talk about the Sheridan storyline.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So Sheridan has been, and I did do a little bit of glancing at some previous episodes just to kind of rev up. And Sheridan has been, quote, killed for many episodes. She has been dead on the floor for many episodes prior to 354.
Tough days for
Mackenzie. For Mackenzie. Yeah, I thought about that too, just with a sheet over her face.
Just laying on the floor all day.
Yeah. So we all want to talk about Hank.
Let's talk about Hank.
The reluctant confessor.
Man, he's very reluctant.
Well, before we get into Hank, may I...
Well, I just thought we just agreed to talk about Hank.
Oh, may I talk about Dalton, who is the actor who plays Hank?
Yeah. Hit us with some stuff.
I have a theory after watching this that he may be the best actor on the show. Stay with me here. He's on the wrong show.
Well...
He's on the wrong show. He's doing this thing, and everybody's doing a whole other thing. And I'm like, what show is he on? Because he's not on this show. Yeah.
He hadn't done soaps. He had done a lot of work prior to this, mostly television.
I remember thinking he was
and
one of the more experienced actors. Yeah.
He reminded me of like a Stephen Dorff type,
yeah, right?
Because they wanted a bad guy.
Yeah,
and he was perfect for it. But Natalie, I agree with what you're saying. And I'll tell you why. Because I think what he was playing was each moment, continuous moment. He was playing it in real time. And everyone else in the scene was playing it as a new scene. He had emotional through line that began in 3 episodes ago,
right,
and ended. So he was playing, like we were talking about the timeline of things.
Yeah.
If this doesn't make sense, tell me, because it's hard to articulate.
He was working a lot harder than anybody else.
He's looking at it like this is only 2 seconds from the time in the other scene. This is only 2 seconds later. So why would my emotion be so different?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm going to pour some water, guys. Give me one. I got dry mouth.
So I it's a different style.
Yeah.
In soaps, you gotta...
Wait, hold on. Ben.
No, no, I'm not used to watching soaps, and I have a thing about that, but let's continue with the Hank conversation.
Oh, the Hank conversation. Well, you know...
I mean, that was my big... That was my big takeaway from that. I'm making so many discoveries, and I'm sure this will fade over time, but because this is the first one that I'm watching that I'm in, watching what's going on screen... And how it correlates with what I was experiencing at the time is pretty fascinating to me. And that's one of the many instances where I'm like, oh, this is not how I saw it before. I didn't notice any of that. I just noticed that, like, I guess I thought there was something a little different. But I think that, yeah, I think Travis is right. I think that's a very astute observation that he was playing the reality of it, whereas we were all just like at the last second
reality,
looking at our sides right before they did 3, 2, 1 and then stuffing them in the couch and just let me just remember that one line I have to say. So yeah, those are my thoughts on Hank/Dalton. But yes, talking about the character and the whole, like, I'll tell you exactly what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
The word exactly is such an overused word on this show specifically.
The whole show itself, or
the passions. The word exactly comes, and now that you know, you're gonna listen for it's almost like there was a drinking game going on with the writers, and they were like, oh, we're just gonna use this word as much as we can, even
maybe
when
just
it doesn't make sense.
Maybe just drinking, not even drinking game.
Maybe,
yeah.
Right.
There were a lot
maybe
of
they didn't
drinking
need to play the game
related to this TV show. A lot of people got very creative.
Yeah.
Yeah, the misleads were very, very lame.
Yeah, it was a lot of stalling.
Not a lot of effort, just stalling.
Yeah.
Just filler.
Right.
And it wasn't very creatively done.
Well, it made me wonder if, and I guess I'll see, the vagueness of his confession, which left a lot to be interpreted.
Wait for it, man.
Okay, so I just need to wait for it.
No, I'm saying just in general. This is something that is used over and over again on this show. I mean, because the idea was red herrings, and red herrings are great if you follow the rules of the red herring.
Mm-hmm.
But they just didn't. They were just like, we're going to use the thing, and then we're going to do it wrong.
And also in that episode, he's saying to Luis, says, you killed her. And Hank goes, what? No, I didn't. And then he says, later in that episode, Luis, I killed her.
And Luis is like,
he says, I'm responsible, though.
Right. Yeah. And Luis says, wait, what?
Yeah.
And then he says, I'll tell you why. And then Luis says, I'm sorry I said I killed, you killed her.
Right.
I was just mad. And then then Hank is like, okay. And Sam Bennett is like, Luis, you got to settle down.
We're not a recap show.
Yeah, it is. We're not a recap show. I'm pointing out how weird it is.
Well, I wrote.
It's so bad.
I wrote this down after, I think this is in the next episode, but it applies to this. I wrote this down. The don't blame yourself wank fest is a real passion staple, especially when confessing.
Especially right. when confessing.
It is something that happens over and over again. They're like, no, you're fine. And they're going, listen to what the fuck I'm saying.
No, we don't need to.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't need to, but I know the answer to all the questions.
But don't
stop
beat yourself up.
Doing this to yourself.
Yeah.
It's not. It's okay. No, but I have the answer. Stop.
It was, yeah, there was a lot of stalling and vagaries. And I know that I worked on a show where they solved everything. You know, a character would go to another character for advice.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be specific advice, but because the writers hadn't figured it out, they'd always say, you know what? You'll figure it out. The character says to see the other character. So that way they don't have to actually write a
right.
real
yeah,
solution.
It's just lazy writing. Yeah. And you know, I guess in their defense, you do have to write a script every day.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. also like then do your job. I don't know. Yeah. I can go either way with this.
But if there's a rhythm to, I guess, watching soaps that I had to get used to where they do like kind of rewind 5 seconds every time you come back to the scene. So, and I assume that was part of it. But anyway.
Yeah. Well, I got a review here that will point out exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Although Passions was created by soap vet James Riley, it lacks even the basic suspenseful pacing and layering of subplots that hook viewers into daily watching.
Yeah.
The show lurches from one Harmony House to another with abrupt visits to Paris or wherever. I mean, that's...
I agree with that review.
I like the lurching.
Right on the nose.
Yeah, so in Sheridan's cottage, we get to because I personally think that Hank was the most exciting and interesting part of that whole thing. And then there's the testosterone, like you had mentioned, the testosterone fueled fight between Sam and Luis, which we will also see a lot of. Those guys really liked too.
Testosterone is a great motivator when you're doing a soap because you have something to play.
Yeah, it's physical.
Angry.
Yeah.
Sorry. That was very loud.
Well, you're
so
angry.
I'm upset with you. Because you have a clear objective as opposed to saying to someone, you killed her. No, I'm sorry I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of about faces.
I meant rhetorically.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. He left the character's confession as written leaves that character an out. And I don't know if it's by design because he's up to something or if it's just they didn't
want... Well, you're going to have to tune in next
week. I'm
going
to have to tune
week.
In. Yeah.
Well, I know.
I know, too.
All right. I want to know now.
So. Well, then they did their job.
Yeah.
So from Sheridan's cottage, we move on to the Crane Mansion where
we see Travis Schultz as an actor struggling.
Listen,
I
if
wouldn't
we're
say
gonna
that.
Hold on. If this is a competition,
I'm watching and I'm like, I didn't know I had a speech impediment at that time
in
my life.
Listen, did you mouth breathe to the point where you could barely watch yourself? Because I did. Like, close your fucking mouth, Z.
This is okay, Ben. I'm watching the episode. We're in bed together, and I open my computer and I start watching the episode and Natalie goes, are you going to watch that right now? And I said, yeah. And she goes, you're not going to want to have sex with me ever again. I'm like, close my computer. And I'm like,
and then we have sex and it's fine. And that's the last time it will ever happen.
Yeah, exactly. And then we had sex. But I'm like, what are you talking about?
Now do you know that you watched it?
I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Because your hair is amazing.
Listen, we're going to talk a lot about hair.
That was, I definitely got over a lot of obstacles in the years that I've known
you. You saw something in me that was not there yet.
I was in love with you.
Right. That's what I'm saying, though. Like,
I was infatuated with you.
What I ended up being was something that you could somehow see in your, like, weird, crystal ball. You were like, that girl's going to like come into her pretty around 2008.
You and were pretty just, to me. You were
did
beautiful.
You watch the episode?
I'm not.
And this is not like, not oh, let's all give show. Natalie compliments. Like, I saw it.
I hung out with you more behind the scenes than I did.
So I guess
on
I,
the soap.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
up
your
okay.
personality.
Yeah.
Also, we joked and we did. We joked. We had fun. We enjoyed each other's company. That's what I liked.
Wow.
I mean, I didn't walk on set and go, God, what was I thinking? She looks so stupid right now.
Well, you should have. Somebody should have said something because.
I think the fans did.
The fans did. And they were not wrong. My mom did. She was not wrong. So I don't want to like I don't want to blast your thunder, steal your thunder, whatever the fucking platitude is. But I yeah, Ben's writing down blast your thunder.
Shoot your wad.
steal your Malibu. Wreck your Malibu.
Right, yes.
Yeah. But I was what the fuck with the hair? Who hold on.
It was very interesting how you had two hairdos. That same day.
That same episode. And we shot both of those episodes.
Because when the scene starts with you with at your house at the Hotchkiss
yes. so
mansion.
Rebecca.
Yeah.
Are at my house and I'm
morning.
Okay.
Your morning.
Yeah, in the morning.
You've
sure.
heard the news.
I haven't heard the news. No, I haven't heard the news. And this is important. So
oh no, that's right.
So you know
you
we shoot
from
out of
Rebecca.
We shoot out of order. So the first scenes I shot that day, and I'll tell you how my hair was different. The first scenes I shot that day were the famous blue pantsuit, which we'll get into.
So amazing.
What was anyone thinking?
Natalie won an award for
I
that
won an award
outfit.
For that famous blue pantsuit. Should we
Did
go off
know
on
that?
That tangent right now?
No, but I keep thinking of the Leonard Cohen song.
Famous Blue Pantsuit?
Famous Blue Raincoat. It's a
oh,
real song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Famous Blue Pantsuit.
So.
And you're way too.
Wait, yeah, you're
sorry,
you
just,
have
aggressive.
Way, we have way too.
I mean, not
like
aggressive.
Music.
You're way
Whatever.
Too intelligent
Let's move
for this
on.
Podcast.
That was dumb.
Take it out.
That'll
now.
Get cut. No, it's great. So we, this is a tangent. So we, Travis and I, back in 2011, let's say, decided to do. What we called the Embarrassing Film Festival, where we got together all of our actor friends and said, bring us your worst clips and we will screen them at our house. We had a screening room at the time and we'll give out awards. And some of the awards were like the categories were like.
Did we make up the categories first?
Yes, before we watched them. Okay. Yeah. One of the categories was, is that an accent? there was and an Oscar nominee won that one.
That's right.
An Oscar-nominated actress,
right.
IRL, won Is That an Accent?
We had worst use of a prop.
Best use of a prop.
Best use of a prop. Oh, worst cry.
Ugliest cry.
Ugliest cry.
We had it. You weren't as bad as you thought you were.
You weren't as bad as you thought you
and
were.
And then we had you were worse than you thought you were. And the same actress won both of those awards. And for the same clip.
For the same clip.
I just couldn't need you
right.
to tell me.
Right.
Turn the mics off.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
She's actually not an actress anymore, and we may have her as a guest because she's a different thing now. Yeah. So we did clips.
So Natalie won for?
I won for worst outfit, worst wardrobe.
Worst wardrobe.
And it was the famous blue pantsuit.
Right.
And obviously my clip was from Passions.
Right.
Travis's clip was also from Passions. I can't believe you didn't win. Worst use of a prop.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to that episode.
I know.
Those episodes.
Ugh.
Soon.
So looking forward to that.
Okay, so famous blue pantsuit. I changed. Gwen changed from a sweater and you know mom pants to the famous blue pantsuit to go get her man
to go seduce.
To go console and seduce.
Yes.
Her ex boyfriend. Like that's the she went into her closet. And she was like, what. Should I?
I'm going to wear something that makes me look like Hillary Clinton.
Yes, that'll do it.
Right.
And
she's hot.
Who, Hillary Clinton?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, just sure. Everybody's got their thing. Ethan was going to go into politics, which I learned
in that
in this episode.
Well, that was my mom's aspiration. Well, no. That
Did that
my,
end up going
my
anywhere?
Parents. No.
Okay.
No.
All right.
No,
so,
because Teresa. I don't know. I'm just making that up.
So I know this sounds like we're all over the place, but
we are.
We are. The first scenes I shot were the famous blue pantsuit with Travis, and which we'll, I think we'll get to because I have some stuff to talk about, me and you shooting those scenes on the couch. So my very last scene of the day, and I was, let's just, if you want to talk about what a fucking mess I was that day, I was, you know, Travis touched on it a lot in the last episode. I was, I've never been to this day before or since that nervous about anything. I was so overwhelmed the night before learning my lines. I thought there's no, I'm not going to be able to do this. I don't know how I'm going to show up to work tomorrow and actually pull this off. I was, I was, I told you at the time, I was like, maybe I didn't. I don't know.
You had worked more than I had.
I know, but this was so different.
It's very different.
It's so different. Nobody prepares you for this. So I remember my last scene of the day was the scene where I find out that Sheridan is dead and I have to be crying. I'm spent. I'm like emotional, like as the actress, I'm just like, I don't know where I am. I don't know what my name is. I don't know how we're going to do this. And the director, I don't remember who the director was, but he came in and he was like, okay, so we're going to, I think it may have been Fido. I'm not sure though. He came in and he was like, so we do the same thing, and you're going to sit here and you need to be crying hysterical. Like, because I think we did a rehearsal and the tears weren't coming. And he came out and he was like, I need you to be like crying hysterically. Okay, anyway, and walked away. And Andrea Evans, soap goddess, said, do you need some help? And I was like, yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do. And she's like, okay. So she calls over the makeup artist, and the makeup artist comes over and she says very discreetly, do you have the it's called the blower. Do you have the blower? And the makeup artist went and got the blower, and she came up to me and she said, okay, I'm going to blow this into your eyes, and it's going to sting a little bit, and then, you know, the tears will come. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And how do I not know about this?
A trick to the magic.
Yeah, I know. Sorry that everybody's, yeah, I know the magic's gone, but this is what we're doing. Pulling back the curtain. And so I was able to get through that scene with the tears. And what they don't tell you about the blower is that eventually it's just to get you started. Mm-hmm. Because once you've started, you can get emotionally where you need to be. And then you're physically there, and your emotions
kicks the ducks.
Yeah, your physicality kind of meld, and like, there you are.
Well, if you're crying, then you're like, well, I'm crying. So it kind of.
So I'm crying. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So that, I mean, and this, I there will be endless stories about how generous and wonderful and giving Andrea was to me throughout the entire 2 years.
That's so cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And that was my last scene to shoot. So that's sort of, it landed on a real high note because she was able to kind of send me off feeling okay about it. But so, yeah, so we did that. And then Gwen changes clothes and goes to the mansion. And this is the stuff that we shot earlier in the day. And I remember being very, I was very worried about that scene because I knew that it was going to be tough, and I knew that I wasn't probably going to be able to get there because my nerves were so crazy. And I remember you and I, we were about to walk through the door, and you pulled out some eye drops. And I remember being like, oh, I am kind of telling the story out of order, but I remember because this is before the blower scene. I was like, oh, you have eye. Can I get some of those too? And you were like, oh, do you wear contacts? And I was like, no. And you were like, why do you want those? And I'm like, oh, you're not. Oh, nothing. I'm just kidding. You were like very confused because you were in a completely different headspace. You're like, I don't give a shit. This is my day job. I don't know.
Right. But was I using them to cry?
No, your eyes were dry.
Right.
We didn't need to be crying.
Because I was hungover all the time.
Yeah.
I want to reframe this for a minute.
Okay.
So you make yourself sound like you were very, very awkward asking him this question. Mm-hmm. Did she seem awkward to you?
He doesn't remember me asking this question.
I don't remember.
Okay.
But in all
these interactions.
See, Natalie's telling these stories from her emotional perspective inside.
Yeah.
She did not come across
That's my impression of Natalie Z is not to be at all someone who's ever rattled
she was
or
shitting
nervous.
Her pants, but shitting my pants. She was covering it very well.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
I mean, that comes with the business.
Sure.
As an actor, you have to be in the room, crapping in your pants, freaking out, and looking at everyone smiling and saying, I know what I'm doing right now, and you guys should really hire me.
Yeah.
And then you throw up.
And you
in
throw
your
up
car.
In your car. Yeah.
And get a new pair of underwear.
Diarrhea is like a real like audition diarrhea is a thing.
Great.
I'm sorry.
Pooping metaphors for acting. Don't do it, people.
Don't do it. Unless you want to like really clean out your bowels.
Unless you like feeling like crap all the time.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Sorry, I just.
That's a good. I'm glad you said that, Ben, because I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like a perception thing.
Yeah. It really is.
Yeah. So then we.
So at the Crane House. So at the Crane House, our first on-screen kiss.
We did. We did.
Was that not the, is that the next episode or is it this episode?
I think it might be the next episode.
Is that the next episode?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah,
wait.
Because we're not together, I guess.
I think you guys are all with,
oh,
surrounded
no,
by
that's
people.
That's right. It's in the next one.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I do remember sitting on that couch with you, and this may be the next episode. I don't know. But sitting on the couch with you, looking through a photo album, because Rebecca's like, look at pictures with him.
Yeah.
And I remember you saying... and this is a very specifically like on set type of story, but what they do before you start acting, they count down. They count down. The stage manager counts down 3, 2, and then the 1 and the 0 are silent. And then instead of action, you just start talking. Well, I remember Travis chit-chatting with me during 3, 2, and I'm like, we are about to shoot a scene. What I didn't realize is that that's just not how it works. You just chit-chat up until
I wasn't talking.
Not in the scene. Yeah.
Right.
You didn't
in
have
the
lines
scene,
in the
I
scenes.
Wasn't
exactly.
I didn't chit-chat before it was my time on camera.
Yeah, you were just – and you were chit-chatting
about –
we
were background. We were background in the scene.
I think there were – no, because you're like chit-chatting. You're like, have you ever had a death in the family? And I'm like, bitch, I am trying to. It's my first day, and I don't want to chit chat with you right when I'm about to start acting. And you were like, "Do you not remember this?"
I remember chit chatting before 3, 2, 1, but I don't remember doing it before I had dialogue.
I feel like, well,
I mean, until the
potato.
Much later.
Yeah,
much later.
Yeah,
when I didn't really.
You were just trying to. It was very sweet
when I had it down, because at that time I was still struggling with memorizing.
You didn't seem like you were you seemed very like a cool cucumber.
Maybe that was an easy day. It was an easy
day. It was an easy day.
It was an easy
day. Yeah, for you.
You can't tell when you watch.
No. So that's all the Crane, that's all the Ethan and Gwen stuff. I would really, really love to talk about Julian.
Yeah.
I could spend an entire episode talking about Ben Masters.
Yeah. I mean, we were watching this, and Amy was kind of in and out of the room, and she said, "Is he the bad guy?"
So did Reagan. Reagan said the same thing.
Yeah. What gave you that idea?
the 5-year-old knew too.
Yeah.
So I'm watching these episodes from obviously a very different perspective in terms of like age and experience and what I've learned as an actor and the amount of appreciation that I have for Ben Masters, who plays Julian Crane, for Kim Ulrich, who plays Ivy, and for Andrea Evans, who plays Rebecca. I was just not paying attention. I was in my own shit. I was like sucked in by my whole youthful bullshit, whatever I was doing, and had no idea that what they were doing was... like, I was so good. It was. I don't want to use the word genius because
it's
passion.
It's the curse of youth. You know,
yeah.
We struggled so much doing that stuff, and because of their experience and their age, they had been working for years.
Yeah,
they knew exactly what to do with this kind of material, and I think that's why Ben stands out so much because he just had so much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And what Natalie and I talked about after we were watching, we were like, oh my God, they're so good because they're not
trying to make it something
out.
It's not.
Well,
they're not fighting the genre.
Yeah.
They're not fighting the genre. They're not trying to be the Marlon Brando of the soap opera world. This isn't like their first big gig on television. They've been around. They're accomplished. And they're enjoying the part.
They're not trying to prove anything.
And they're not trying to prove anything. Ben had so much fun with the ascot and
I have that note here.
The cocktails
three
and the book And the like at one point he's just a fucking book that he's just like, right. What are you reading?
Well, because so many times they put you in a scene and you're standing around doing nothing, and Ben would say, "I'm gonna have a book here with a drink, empty," and he's just like, "I'm talking to Rebecca and I'm looking at Ethan," and it's just, it works because he's just it makes your eye draw to
him. I don't
want to
watch anything else but him when there's
so kooky yet creepy yet charming.
I think what I had said to
amazing.
You, Travis,
and Kim in that episode is fantastic.
God, she takes
she's doing that thing that Dalton had to do and Galen had to do, but she just handles it like a pro.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a different way of watching, and also, I guess, performing, and also writing. Once you get used to it, it makes sense.
Right. Well, what I told Travis about their acting,
embrace the genre,
their acting as opposed to our acting was we were trying to act it; they were just performing it.
Right.
Like they knew, they owned it, and we were being owned by it.
Right. Because I remember those days where I'm walking around, so many days walking around set, mourning Sheridan and worried about her, and it was exhausting emotionally, because I would come to work and I'd just be like, okay, I gotta be sad today because my Sheridan just died 2 seconds ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, if I would have just been myself now, I would have been like, this is so easy, I just gotta act sad, and then I'll look at my
just
phone.
Act sad,
right?
Like,
that's
all you
just
gotta
act
do
sad. And it
we were
works.
Trying
just
to
trust
make
it.
We were trying
I,
to make
I was
it
like,
rocket
I
science.
Need tears, I need tears. Like you, I need real tears. It's like, nah, just look down and, you know.
Just pretend to be sad.
Kind of put in a little broken word in there, like, I just missed Sheridan. And it's cut, moving on.
Travis, that was
She was
excellent.
My best friend. There you go. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, and maybe cut out the mouth breathing a little bit. Maybe close your fucking mouth.
Oh,
what was up with? I love myself, guys. I am my biggest fan. So
no,
this is not like a.
It's very interesting to look back
on
your
myself.
Young self and see. I mean,
if
you could look back on yourself, Ben, while you were at Dell, what would you say?
I peaked.
Yeah.
Wow. This is my peak.
That is messed up.
That's revenge for earlier.
Right, right. That is revenge for earlier.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. What does Ben see? Does he see his, like, that senior coworker?
That was a weird place to work.
I bet.
Because I started off in tech support, the night shift. So.
Oh, interesting.
It was a little kooky. I mean, I got out pretty quickly.
Did you write a pilot about it?
No.
Okay. Should have.
Tech support, that means people would call you and on the phone.
Yeah,
on the telephone.
On the telephone? And say, man, how do you reboot my Dell?
Yeah.
Can you reboot Travis's computer? Because it's asleep and won't wake up.
Won't wake up.
But I quickly got out there and into logistics, which was a more normal office situation.
That's
anyway.
Like a job.
This
job
is riveting, riveting
also,
stuff.
But you also don't, you don't have like reels and reels of video of yourself to reference. Yeah, so it's a little different. I do one last thing to insult myself about is the theater voice that I was using that I think, Val's shaking his head, you know it. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And I'm not blaming, like, whatever. I didn't know, but I think it fades as we go on. But it was so strong, and how do you say, hey, man, you can drop it. You can just talk like a normal person.
Right, but Ben was doing it.
Ben was doing it, yeah. Yeah, he was.
That was
he
his
earned
choice.
It. Exactly. That was earned.
That was his character that he created.
I guess
I'd love to talk to him about it.
Maybe
it's all everyone's New England wasp,
and that's kind of what I thought. I was like,
is a dialect,
but
it is so hard to emulate.
Yeah,
it's also not a period piece. Like I was speaking as though I was doing something from the like 40s.
No, and that's why I was always struggling with the dialogue. I mean, I thought I was because I'm from Topeka, Kansas, and.
You had a little bit of it, too. You had a little bit of the theater place, too.
I did, because I thought I was watching Ben, and I'm like, well, I'm his son. Maybe I should sound like that. And it was that thing. Like, I didn't have the confidence to just do my own thing.
To just talk.
Look, guys, I mean, if someone else would have got this role, the show probably would have been better.
But that's not true. We've seen in the comments that you are the beloved Ethan.
They didn't. I was the only Ethan.
They had no choice.
Not until Eric came along that's and they were point. Like, oh, you know what? Eric is a
maybe he's better.
He's better. He's like, he's got more energy.
Eric is different.
He's stronger.
He doesn't. He wants to be there. He's not upset about showing up to. He's not hungover every day.
Wow.
I know for a fact that he doesn't drink coffee, so that he's probably going to live longer than all of us. Yeah.
They didn't have to go to his apartment and wake him up to go to work.
That's another episode. Oh, God. So that's the Crane Mansion for me. Does anyone?
I have a question for Nellie, but Ben, is there something you want to point out?
I mean, I have all these comments. We could talk about them or not, but
well, we're doing a podcast, so maybe we should talk about them. I don't know.
It's not a recap show.
No, but I don't. Some of them are very small and don't merit discussion. So, and I don't know if we're still going place by place or chronologically.
You're getting what would you prefer? To go chronological?
No, let's just keep on going with the way we're going. I'll chime in when it's appropriate.
I have so many things, and I'm just like, I want to talk about Natalie's approach to Gwen.
I didn't have an approach to Gwen.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, what I saw was a very different Gwen, yeah. Because Liza played a very strong character, a very strong Gwen, I thought. Kind of a bull in a...
China shop
yeah. kind of thing. And for you, I saw this more earnest version of Gwen. And I was just curious if that came from the scene or if you're just, you know, like you said, you're just scared shitless.
I think a lot of how I came in with this character had to do with the circumstances surrounding the character. She just found out her best friend died.
Right, okay.
And she was, you know, put in a really vulnerable position. And I think that was all I really had to grasp onto, because I was scared shitless and I having to learn all those lines, and the gravity of being in front of as many people as I was going to be in front of. I think that's a lot of where the nerves came from, was like, this is the first time I've ever been in a situation where anyone can just tune in and it's just like, so at 24 or 25, it's very daunting. So I didn't really have an approach to
it. Because the parents are always manipulating us.
Yeah.
Throughout.
Yeah.
The manipulation is so blatant. No, and we always like,
we're just reacting.
We were always reacting and saying, no, okay, we'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I saw in 354.
Right.
There is a comment from someone named, do we name them? Yeah. Joshua Lewis says that he thinks that the second Gwen is much calmer.
Oh, Joshua?
Yeah.
Much calmer.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm kind of saying the same thing.
I'll take it. Yeah. I tend to be a little reactive as an actress. I tend to like to react to things as opposed to, yeah. Now we're going to talk about my process.
That's a different podcast.
I did notice that it seems like, can we transition to the Lopez Fitzgerald
house?
Yes,
this is a perfect transition, yes.
So that's also a place where time does not occur.
he's going to keep on with this.
No, I'm not talking about the timeline. I'm talking about the daydreaming and the way they cut.
The double wedding. Yes.
Yeah, double wedding. And then we come back to just a quick shot of Teresa's face. And then she's back in the daydream. So I'm just wondering what her friend's looking at the whole time. Like, hey, Teresa, hello. Are you with me?
This is...
Yeah, Whitney's like, Teresa.
Yeah.
Teresa.
Yeah.
Teresa.
You're having a catatonic spell.
You are stroking out.
Well, this is when we should probably get into the flashback. The
Vaseline on the lens.
Well, no, the whole, the idea of getting stuck in a flashback. Do you remember when the stage managers would be like, okay, we're doing a flashback or a fantasy,
and, oh, right.
and they'd be like, don't get stuck, because, you know, you have to like do a flashback face for right. however. I talked about it on Conan. If you'll just YouTube that, it tells you all about it. Martin Short did it. It was a big hit, guys. I will drop a name in every fucking episode. Just know this right now.
So the flashback face is like the head and the tail of the bookend of the flashback.
Right. Because in the scene, you know, it's like we were talking about last episode. It's not in order.
Right.
In the scene, they're like 3, 2, 1.
Flashback face.
Flashback face, and you go. And then they're like. Then you start talking.
Yeah, well, no, well, then they count you back in.
Yeah, they count you back in.
They
okay,
count you
got
in from
it.
The flashback face. Three, two.
And so.
And then I got it.
What, Whitney? Yeah.
Well, and we're so used
Lindsay
to that. I mean, that's not just. That's everything in film and television is the way you do that.
Yes.
So much so, I was so used to it that I was eating and I, you know, looked down at my food and looked back up, and we were in the double wedding thing. And I said to Amy, did they show Therese at all? Because they didn't. I'm really pissed. So we rewound, and sure enough, it was there. A flashback face was there.
Okay,
right,
good. No.
Right.
Yeah.
So the director did his job,
yes.
Or her job.
Yeah.
So the double wedding, huh? That's a thing.
It's
nope.
a big thing.
It is not.
What do you mean it's not a thing?
It is not. There is not. There is not a woman on the planet who's like, you know what I want to do?
Oh.
I want to share my big day with some other bitch.
Okay.
One person.
I'm going to back you up on this because in my notes.
Oh, good. Okay. Ben agrees.
I wrote, Amy grumbles, has anyone ever had a double wedding ? Before leaving the room?
No.
Yeah.
No, that was a good exit line for
that's
her.
That's a good Google.
Yeah.
That's
a good Google.
Double real. Double wedding
? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I love it. There's, oh, well, and I don't, we're not a recap show and I don't give a fuck about spoilers because it's been 10 years, but there's an actual double wedding that happens.
Well, I've seen that because you guys sent me there's something that happens with the car.
Oh,
I sent that to you. Yeah.
Right.
I'm sorry. I'm just going to pop in. Yeah. The phrase double wedding is so funny. It's just so incredibly.
Because it's not a thing.
No,
it's like an oxymoron.
No. Yes. The double wedding.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just double wedding is a completely made up.
It's a completely
phrase.
Made up.
So,
thing.
Father John, what you have going on today at the church? 3 o'clock, we have a double wedding.
Double wedding?
No, you don't.
Another one?
No.
It's been quite a week.
I don't think so, Father.
Liar.
So
seems like every time you say that, you're actually going to the YMCA to watch the boys' basketball league.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Are you taking down the Catholic Church with
real.
This podcast?
Here we go.
Wow.
Let me get my soapbox out.
So at the kitchen, which is, I think, where this whole episode takes place, in that kitchen, right? Yeah. So most of the stuff going on there is her envisioning the double wedding, talking to Whitney about her admittedly shoddy plan with a lot of ifs.
Lots of ifs. I'm glad they do point that out. And Whitney seems like the only logical person in this entire world that we've created at this point, where she's like, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, Whitney.
Here's what has to happen in order for this to happen. Oh,
right.
Whitney. Whitney was always having to be the voice of reason.
Teresa.
And then there's like I call it the magic radio, because there's no indication that there's any music playing.
That's true.
But then all of a sudden, from the radio on the counter, special bulletin.
No, this again, you talked in the first episode about how passions kind of started things before they actually happened. Like for my audition, the CrossFit, this was the first idea for Alexa.
Oh, I said
so
Amber
was,
Alert. Like
an Amber Alert. Ah, nice. Well, they have their own People magazine of Harmony, so.
Yeah, why not?
Why not? Yeah.
And they also have billionaires there, I think, don't they?
In Harmony?
Yeah.
Everyone's a billionaire.
Okay. Yeah. That's what I figured.
Everyone.
Yeah,
everyone wears L.L. Bean.
Yep.
Back then.
Lots of brown jacket.
Lots of brown jacket. I have the next
episode. I'm skipping ahead. I apologize.
Lots of sweaters.
Well, it was cold. It's cold.
Right, and
it's
all the time.
Cold all the time, and wet.
Now, I do have a clarification question, because I don't know. It seems like, leading up to this point, Ethan's with Teresa, right?
Yes, I also,
yes,
I had
what
this
I was
question.
Saying.
Yes.
They have had a moment.
Was it just a moment, or?
No, it's like, I love you.
Okay.
And
But then, without even batting an eye, Gwen comes, and Ethan's like, cool with it.
Well,
he's mourning.
Again, you're absolutely right. In the real world, you'd be like, Gwen, really appreciate you being here. But
well, is the bath line in this one or the next one?
I think it's the next one.
No, that's the next one.
Okay, well, let's.
Because that's.
But, you know,
creepy.
It's like, you're a friend in need.
Yeah, I'm just friendly.
Your ex-fiance.
Your aunt is dead. My best friend is dying,
and she knows how close they are. And I mean, it makes sense.
Not to Ben.
No, but here's something. Going back to Teresa, this poor child. She is she's growing up in this episode. That's what this is about. She's got this secret about Ethan, and you know, here she is. She's always followed her heart, and everyone around her is manipulating the world to keep her out of it. And she's struggling here with this secret. Because I found that really interesting. From like looking at it 20 years later,
from a socioeconomic standpoint, right.
Like here is this girl who's like, why can't I do this? I found something that will help Ethan, and I love him, so this seems natural. And then this, you know, reality of her mom's like, no, you can't do that. And then you go to the Cranes and the Hotchkisses, and they're like, we got to get rid of Teresa. We got to manipulate the world. It was very
interesting. That's good soapy stuff. That is good soapy stuff.
And, you know, I just thought, like, how the whole town was against Teresa.
Yeah.
Even her friend Whitney's like, forget it.
Yeah.
And I was like, it clicked for me in that moment. This is why everyone loves Teresa.
Right.
Because she is so that underdog, the ultimate underdog. That we all just feel like every day in America,
yeah,
you know, which is we're realizing is a reality.
I totally get that.
Yeah. I thought that was kind of fun.
Yeah, it really does make sense.
Also, it's just such a boring concept that the wealthy people just manipulate the world. I mean, they don't, right? Right. I mean, like they don't keep things from us.
It is
like
a science fiction soap opera.
Right.
It's not.
I mean, that's
in
so far from the truth that wealthy people manipulate everything in the world.
Yeah, I don't know where they got that,
that's
but
crazy.
You know,
yeah,
they're good writers after all, I guess. Yeah,
they're looking out for us.
Yep.
So that's all the stuff that's happening there in that house.
He's doing a checklist.
I have
Ben's
a checklist.
Like, okay, and we've done.
I'm like a, I'm okay. like a, I'm like Janine Garofalo. I'm like, what else?
Oh God!
Yeah, this episode is going to sort of continue onto itself.
Wait, noxious gases.
Noxious gas. I
we
know
didn't
you
talk
were...
about that. 354.
I think you're the only one who is really hung up on this, but so you should drive this train.
Okay, so Ben saw Ivy sleeping with Sam. Julian saw Ivy sleeping with Sam in a magic mirror.
Magic mirror.
And then the doctor's like, no. You were hallucinating because of the noxious gases in the mine. And I'm like, what? I got to go back and find this out. I don't remember any of that.
I just kind of just accepted it from the dawn because I was like, that's got to be far back. And you told me not to go back.
No, we didn't want you.
For my own
health.
Know
you will.
Yeah.
But I thought, man, this is so weird. And
I do remember
fun,
references about the mine shaft. Doesn't that sound familiar? Like, when that thing happened in the mine, and I'm sure it's a lot of it is like Dr. Russell talking about
Dr. Russell.
The Dr. Russell. She's gonna get.
She covers Ivy all the time.
Oh, I did have something. May we go back and rewind to? I did have what I would like to start as a segment. Which is my laugh out loud moment. I refuse to say the letters LOL, which I just did. My absolute favorite, I like guffawed. I made a belly laugh was when Travis, he says, it's probably not going to be funny to anybody else. He says, it's times like this when I'm thinking maybe I'm not a crane.
Yes, that stuff is pretty awful. It's kind of like when, again, the magic radio comes on at Sheridan's house, and he's like, Chief Ben's like, turn that off. And he's like, no, that's my favorite song. And I'm like,
that's right.
That Ben loves that kind of music.
I do. Fuck you. I don't like that kind
of
music.
I know. I'm not. I'm saying, like, I'm sure you had a visceral reaction to that.
Yeah, I did. I didn't like it.
That was so such a terrible song for him to.
It's like 90s, late 90s bad pop. Stuff.
It's and the
lyrics, jingle jangle pop.
The lyrics are the exact order of their relationship. It was, you know what I mean?
Was it written? Do we know if it was written for the show?
Oh, I'm sure, because I tried like the singer. Shazam. I tried the Shazam, and it didn't. Hmm.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I would wonder if, if one is able to use public domain or songs from the public on a soap, or if they all have to
be. They wrote a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
I mean, there were musicians that did the composers
that did the jangly guitar.
Yeah, they did all that stuff.
Yeah,
and they pulled from. I mean, they had catalogs.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
they had NBC catalogs.
So the guy, and oh, I shouldn't even bring this up. I'm going to bring this up next time because I needed to learn this guy's name. Never mind. So 3, 2, 1.
Yeah, 3, yeah. 2, 1. So speaking of that, the crime scene.
Right.
With Luis, mm-hmm. who to me looks like Ben Stiller snuck on the set in elaborate makeup as a prank. is that too random?
Size-wise, yeah, it's a little, yeah.
Yeah, anyway. But,
the spiky hair was definitely a lot. A
lot of hair gel budget.
A lot of hair, yeah. There was a lot of hair gel.
Well, that's where they were putting their energy as opposed to in making sure that I didn't look like I was wearing a dead cat.
Right.
In the soap opera world, the men characters are way more important than the women.
They're the commodities.
They have to take their shirts off. They have to look good. The women...
Yeah,
they don't want them to be too sexy, too hot.
Yeah, because then
too pretty, because then the viewing public won't identify with them.
Right.
Yeah.
It's kind of like late time TV.
Late time TV.
The opposite.
Late night. What's late time TV?
Late time TV.
Well, I know
Ben's writing it down
on True Blood. That was definitely. I mean, not the show, but in the books, that was. Sookie was the relatable one. Then she had all these hot guys who wanted her.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was probably from, like a soap world trope.
Yeah, for sure.
Tropes, which we'll get into when we don't have so much to talk about. What else?
I just really got excited about how they kept wanting to take the body away.
Yes.
And isn't that the next episode?
Luis said,
well, it's both.
It's both, but just...
Yeah.
No.
Let's save that for the next one, because I have some. I mean, we can talk about
it. Yeah.
I think we've covered it. I think we've 354 has been covered thoroughly.
Natalie's
as
first day.
Travis would say, thorough.
Thoroughly.
Yeah, thoroughly. Natalie's first day, and now we can get on to the nitty gritty from here on. I just want to say a quick thank you for everyone who has started listening, and that. You know, we're real grassroots over here. We're doing this because we wanted to connect, and we know that people love the show, and we want to tell stories, and we're not...
Nellie and I have been telling these stories to each other for years.
For years, and we don't have sponsors. We don't, we're not cross-promoting all the jargon that I don't know. It's just you guys. So if you like the show, please, first of all, tell everybody, but also... Rate and review us on iTunes. That's really going to help us. And on if you have questions, if you have comments, if you hate us, if you love us, if we've missed anything, reach out to us.
We're
if we're wrong,
like
you can
Ben.
Like
she didn't say Brianna.
She didn't say Brianna.
Oh, we know.
I watched it again.
Did you?
Yeah.
So now all of you are fact checking me.
So you can tell us. Email us at emailpassions@gmail.com. On Twitter, we are at @passions4. On Instagram, we are at @passionsforlifepod. We'll, maybe read some stuff on the pod. But thank you. And, tell everybody. And keep listening because it gets even better. Just like Travis Schultz.
I'm not going to make that promise.
I will. My heads are
going
to roll.
You're going out. Okay. You heard it. You heard it, people.
All right. So join us for the next one. And we love you. Yeah. And
love.
Bye.
See you guys.